helped. Praise God. I don't know if you can hear the difference, but I can hear the difference. And I think you're singing better with the tambourine. So praise God for the musical instruments. Let us sing just one more and then we'll hand over to the pastor this evening. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Amen. He that
praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Forgot to give out to Matthew coming in, but praise God, the Lord bless each one tonight. We give everyone warm welcome in their service, from the youngest to the oldest. May the Lord bless you. We don't have long tonight because they're coming in here at 6 o'clock. So I won't keep you as long tonight. I want to appreciate each one again this evening. For your prayers, for your support, for myself and Brother John, and appreciate the brothers as well, Brother Laurie, Brother Yule, Brother Mark and Samuel, that did the services when I was away. And I want to appreciate my wee wife as well. Praise God, keeping the homestead going. Praise the Lord. It's not easy, you know, leaving her with all the children and everything. And everyone sends you greetings from all the different places and all over the different parts of the world. Praise God. I want to preach tonight in the love of God. And I wasn't planning to preach this, but I was planning on someone else, and I'd advertised someone else. 4 things we need to know was what I was meant to be preaching on. But I just got this real feeling this morning. Somebody said it was just your feeling. Well, if it was, it sure feels good. Amen. Was it the Lord or a feeling? Well, either way, it felt good. But I felt to share this tonight about the love of God, because many people condemn themselves. But the devil's lying to you. God's love never changes. Let's read the greatest verse in all of the Bible, John 3, verse 16. Praise God. And I think I mentioned everybody, Samuel, Brother Gary, Brother Mark, Brother Laurie. I think that's everybody. The wife will tell me off when I get home if it's not. And then God bless everyone else as well that's here. Praise the Lord. And we just appreciate the Lord and appreciate each one. And Brother Brian sends his greetings. Brother Quasi. The Wee Simone Church sending greetings. and Brother Albert as well from New Zealand. And I've given Brother Marcus' life story, and he can pass that round when he reads it, from insanity to sanity. And he's some testimony Albert has, and he just preaches a simple message, but that's what God's in. God's in simplicity. You know, I'm going to say this before I read this tonight. You know, there's a lot of pictures at the minute around different churches where they've the Hoffman's Head of Christ up, and they go on the streets and they have it, and they go everywhere and they have it. Well, I was talking to Brother Albert about that, and here was our conclusion. And I'm honest about it. I'm going to be honest with you. Sister Ruth was married to Brother Gary, and I hope they don't mind me using this as an example. Now, the Hoffman's Head of Christ, they say, is the closest looking picture to Jesus. Now, I don't know if it is or where it's not. I'm not saying either way. But Ruth would not put a picture up of somebody that looks like Gary on the wall and say, that's my husband. She would only want a picture of Gary up. And I tell you, we need the real thing, not some imitation. And all these pictures and stuff, I'm going to tell you now, that's a cult. It's no better than the Church of Rome, half of it. That's the truth now. And we don't need a picture of any man, but we need the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's no point coming out of one organization to make another one. God wants us to be free in Him. Amen. Would you rather have His presence than a picture? I want His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the meeting. Somebody's a picture is not... You have the picture. And there might be a picture in my office as well. But I certainly don't pray or worship no picture. It's the Lord I have. But we're going to see Him one day. And we're not going to see a picture. Paul says we look through a glass darkly. But we shall be known as He is known. For we're going to see Him face to face. And not another. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for this verse in Your Bible. We thank You for Your love. And I pray the Holy Ghost will give an ill impression in our hearts of the true revelation of Your love tonight. In Jesus' precious name, I come against every work of the devil, every spirit of condemnation, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And you haven't given a spirit of fear, but of love and of truth, and that of a sound mind. Bless Your people, strengthen them. If someone's here listening in that's not saved, may they get saved. May they know You, Lord Jesus, as their own Savior. And any that needs Your healing touch, grant it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless all these brothers, all the sisters, the boys, the girls in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, there's three things told us in Scripture about the nature of God. Firstly, that God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Because God is a spirit, He indeed is omnipresent. He fills heaven and He fills earth. It means His divine presence encompasses the whole universe. So you cannot put Him in a box. For there's no boxes He fits in. Amen. Praise God. It's like the way bottle of water they take out of the sea. Everything in the ocean is in that bottle of water. But that bottle of water is not the sea. It's just a wee portion of the sea. Now how many times would you go with your bottle of water to the sea to empty the sea? You can't do it. And God is not diminished. He can fill 1,000 with spirit or 1,000,000. And He still remains the same. Because He is Almighty God. Some people think they can put God in the one wee place. Or that God was all in a certain man. The only man He was all in was Christ. He was in Him without measure. For He was God. Manifested in the flesh. To destroy the works of the devil. That's the word of God. For this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. There's no location for God doesn't inhabit. Did you hear that? David said if it goes down to hell, he's there. If it goes up to heaven, he's there. There's no location. He doesn't help it. Don't worry about the devil. God made him. He made him. And because he made him, he's going to have an end because he had a beginning. But we're working with someone with no beginning and no ending. That self-existing one, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Secondly, God is light. He is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Then this is the message then which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God has no darkness at all. So that means if you can get God somewhere, you've got light where he is. Did you hear that? If you can get the Lord somewhere, you've got light where he is. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. So if you've got Jesus, you've got the light. Amen. People used to joke about the soul of the light. If you've got Jesus Christ, you certainly have that light. You have the light. And you have the light giver. Praise God. God is light, which is the opposite to darkness. In Scripture, darkness stands for sin, evil, death. Light for holiness and godliness and life. God is light. That means he is a sum of all excellency. Did you hear that? That means he is a sum of all excellency. God is. There's nothing else you can say that about. But God is the sum of all excellency. Our meeting cannot be centered on a name or some this or that. It has to be centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be preached and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to preach him. I'll never forget it when God spoke to me some years ago, preach more on Jesus. You say, we're not preaching on him enough. Well, he mustn't have been. Because he said, preach on him more. So that's what I'm trying to do. And if somebody says that's all he does, son, that won't turn me a bit because I'm following what he said. Amen. Thirdly, God is love. And I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about the love of God. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. Isn't that wonderful? God is love. And it's not simply that God loves, but that he himself is love. He does love. But it's not just that he loves, but he himself is love. God is love. Hallelujah. So when you've got God, you've got love. Love is not merely one of his attributes, but his very nature. There's attributes in God for healing, for salvation, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's so many attributes in God, you can't even start it or finish it really, but God is love. It's more than an attribute. He is love. He expresses love. He uses love. If you heard people dying and they said there was a great presence came and a love came on them and it changed them. That's the love of God. I know when I'm preaching about it, I condemned myself in jail or the devil did. And when he spoke to me and he says, I love you and give myself for you, I can tell you that changed everything in one moment. In one moment. The thousand words of the devil were conquered just with a few words. Because his words are spirit and they are life. God is love. Love is not merely one of his attributes, but his very nature. Many people today talk about the love of God, but they're total strangers to the God of love. They talk about the love of God, but they're strangers to the God of love. They don't really know the God of love. Real love is corrective. It's corrective. Real love's corrective. You know, if your wee fella was going to run over that road there tonight, you wouldn't go out and say, I think, son, you should come back. There's no way you'd talk like that. If you'd seen a vehicle coming, you'd burst yourself. Is that right? You'd run to get him on that road. You'd rescue him at all costs. You'd even endanger your own life to save your son. Is that right? And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, special, unique son for the whole world. He can save all of the lonely come. I don't believe in a limited atonement or a limited salvation. And I don't believe you can measure the blood out with some man's thinking. And, oh, that'll do now. That's it finished. Absolute apostasy. That's what I say to that type of stuff. You cannot limit the blood and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It runs. I'll tell you, someone would save 1,000 worlds if they were there to receive. That's how good it is. It's unlimited source. My God can save because he's a God of love. It's not simply that God loves, but he is a God of love. Praise God. And many people don't know this God of love, but they talk about the God of love, but they don't really know him. They've never experienced him. But when you really experience this God of love, when you ask him into your heart to save you and change and deliver you, you experience his love, and his love transforms the deepest, dire sinners. I tell you, I was lying in my bed and I've been waking early, you know, probably because of the jet lag or whatever they want to call it. And I've been waking up early and thinking about the Lord. And my, I was thinking about the cross and the price Christ paid. And I was thinking of some people in society that people sort of look their noses down, that God can't save. And we have a whole lot of it around religious circles. How come they're not this certain, this and that, and they tick up Old Testament scriptures to work it all out? Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament. And it's all abolished in Christ. Does it say that? Absolutely. And there's mercy with the Lord. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. The tattooed from head to toe, the down and out on the street corner, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the Lord can save any one of them just in a moment. Never give up hope. Our God's able to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. Many say they love God, but they don't keep the word of God. There's a lot of Christians, oh, I love the Lord with all my heart, but they don't keep his word. John 8:42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love him. For I proceeded forth and came out from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And if you love the Lord Jesus, you're going to be loving God. And if you love God, you're going to be loving the Lord Jesus. And you're going to keep his word. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So when Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into the world therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give them the title now. Give them what he said, the name. Not the title of the name, but he said the name. In Acts 2:38, he tells us the prescription. Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You take the name. I tell you, when my wife married me, she was Sharon McBurney. But she's not called Sharon McBurney today. She's called Sharon McKinstry because she took my name. There's a lot of marriages today, you know, around about with movie stars and film stars, and they keep their own name. I have only one thing to say about that. It's fake. It's a farce. You can't keep your name. You take the man's name because you're part of him. You become one. Just like we become one with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves us. I'll tell you that this evening, and we'll take his name. We're not ashamed of the name. We're not ashamed of the name when we're sitting with some Trinitarian. And because he doesn't see it, we are feared to sit quiet like our mouths are stuck. We need to tell the truth. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You won't be afraid of them. Won't be afraid to stand for them. There's an old boy down the road not far from here who wears a cloak. He's not afraid to get up on a pulpit and say that he can work the act of transubstantiation and turn a wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus. That's a lie. He cannot do it. He's false and he's an apostate to the Bible and to the Word of God. And the whole system's adulterous. And many systems are adulterous today because they're opposite to God's word. God wants us to keep his word. He doesn't want us to change a wee bit of it for our theological experience. He wants us to preach it the way it was preached in the book of Acts. Amen. And he wants us to believe it the way the first church believed it. And he wants us to step out in faith. Amen. Knowing that he's the same yesterday, today and forever, and he is still a God of love, and he loves you tonight. spite of what the devil tells you, brother, might have made a terrible mistake this week. Yes, Peter made a whole lot of mistakes too. He cursed the Lord. He done everything he shouldn't have done. But the Lord said, I have prayed for you, Peter. Amen. Satan's desired to sift you like wheat. I prayed for you. Amen. And when you are converted, you will strengthen my brethren. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord, and suddenly there came a noise, a soft rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were, and Peter preached them a red-hot sermon. And many souls were converted to the Lord, and the power of God fell. And I tell you, that's what God done with Peter, in spite of all his mistakes and failures. And the same Lord Jesus says, I pray not for these, but also, Father, for those that thou'll give me. And he has given you, you've been given to the Father. Do you know that tonight? You can't come unless he draws you. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know him, save to him whom the Son will reveal him. And God drew you, young man. Young woman, the Lord drew you. Because the Lord loves you. Maybe you're not doing some things you should be doing, but the Lord still loves you. It never changes. And this is the whole theme of this message. I won't be able to preach it all tonight, but I'm going to show you that God's love for you remains the same. It doesn't go up and down. There's no such thing as a 10% day and a 100% day. It's all 100. Never changes. You can't increase God's love by having a religious movement or walk. But God loves you when you weren't lovable. He loves you when you're away from him. He loves you when you're in the world. He loves you when you're in the pub. When you're in the corner, he still loved you. And it was him and his grace that moved you to come. God and his great mercy moved you. He moved me. For by grace through faith you are saved. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Thank God for the gift of God. Jesus says, he will keep my words and my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful that he's with us. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear, it's not mine, but the Father which sent me. When Jesus was talking, God was talking. How many believes that? I'm going to tell you a wee thing this evening. People talk about, you have to know when it was a man talking and when it was God talking. But I want to tell you, when Jesus was talking, God was talking the whole time. You don't need to break it down. And you don't need to say, well, this is Jesus the man, and then this is God. It's all God. But any other man, you're going to have wee bits where it's a man and wee bits where it might be God. But when you're working with the word of God, don't forget Jesus. It's John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Also the Bible says, here a little, there a little, so is the Word of God. Hebrews says, it's written of him, behold, thou comest in a volume of a book to do thy will, O God. He is the Word made flesh. I tell you, there's a lot of people you'd have to dissect, wouldn't you? You'd have to dissect when God's talking and the man's talking, and a whole lot of times it's 90% man and 10% God. But when you're working with the Lord Jesus, it's all God talking. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He done the Father's will. One main reason, you know, is because our hearts many times is occupied with so many things. Our hearts is occupied with this and that. The better we acquaint ourselves with his love, the more our hearts will be drawn out of the love to him. It's God's love that draws us. God's love draws us. Aren't you glad God's love draws you? Many of us would be way out tonight. We wouldn't be here, but God loves through us. Thank God for the love of God. The love of God is uninfluenced. Now, I have a lot of things to preach about this. I studied this a long time during the lockdown. And this is a long message, and I won't get preaching it all the night. I'm not worried about that. But the love of God is uninfluenced. And you could be a good boy or a good wee girl for your daughter mom this week, and they could maybe do something for you. But God doesn't work like that. There's that fellow we heard about this morning, Jacob. He done the opposite. A twister, and what did your brother call him? It was good. The deceiver. But the thing is, God loved him anyhow. Now that's hard to get your head around, but that's God. And you cannot question God. Why did you do this or that? That's God's business. And you can't question God that a man can preach till 100 unsaved and one of them will be moved and the rest of them lost. That's God's business. God knows what he's doing. You see, you were chosen in him. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you. Ever before you were born and you were predestinated to become sons of God, he knew you. And he loved you even then. And his love remains the same. It's uninfluenced. But this I mean, there's nothing whatsoever in the object of his love to call it into existence. Nothing in the creature to attract or prompt the love of God. Nothing. The love which one creature has for another is because of something in the object. But the love of God is free, spontaneous, uncaused. The only reason why God loves anyone is found in his own sovereign will. It's God's sovereign will that chose it, that he loves us. Why would God pick Paul? Stoning the Christians, murdering them, seeing them through in prison. Why wouldn't he pick some religious fella? There's plenty of them about, but he never picked any of them. He picked Paul. And he not only did he pick him, and I tell you, it was great what a brother John said over in Australia. Paul went through an awful time. He was persecuted. When God picked him and chose him, he didn't say, "Now, Paul, I'll tell you what, boy. She'll be rosy." No, right, brother. It'll be rosy all week when you can see him. Boys, you'll have a great week. No, you'll not know there's a devil living until you get to see him. And then you realize there's a real devil once you can see him. That's why you need to put on the whole armor of God. You're going to need every bit of it. You're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But thank God, it's available. And it's available because he loved you. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. He's given you the example himself when he was here on earth, when the devil taking him up and he says, "Oh, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms." Jesus never said, "Hold on, devil, I own them." He never argued one minute with him. He said, "Hold on, it's written." He pointed him to the word. And you've got the word of God tonight. The word of God says to you, sister, greater is he that's in you and he that's in the world. The word of God says to you, brother, by my stripes, you're healed. The word of God says he sent his word and he delivered them. That's the word of God. The word of God says, call on me in the time of trouble and I shall deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. That's the word of God. And you can say so because you're the redeemed of the Lord. You can say it. You have a right to say it. You're redeemed because God loves you. But the love of God is free, spontaneous, uncaused. Deuteronomy 7, verse 78. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand, with a mighty hand redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now then, we know he's speaking to the Jews, but we also were in a spiritual Egypt in bondage. And the Lord brought us out, and we are the royal seed of Abraham by faith. Do you believe that tonight? How many believes it? I believe it, certainly. Paul tells us, and the Bible tells us. He brought us out of Egypt. We were all in Egypt. If you read the book of Ephesians, it says, we were all strangers from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But then the Lord done something on us, and he brought us out. And a brother, you'll praise it when he prays that he's translated us, redeemed us, and translated us into the kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear Son. He didn't leave us in limbo land floating. But he's done the job right. You're the Lord's today. I don't care what the devil told you. I don't care if he sent a wee footstep army of devils to change it. There's nothing he can do but God's love. God loves you, and that's just it. Amen. Yes. God loves you. I don't feel loved, you're loved anyhow. Don't look loved, you're loved anyhow. God loves you. Yes. Isn't it great to know you're loved? Isn't it great when somebody says, I love you? You know, my wife tells me every single day, I love you. I don't tell her every day, but I do love her. Somebody was talking to me about this, you know, when I was away, and I said to the fella, you know, I told her the day I got married, tell her. And I said, if it ever changes, I'll let you know. But that doesn't work. Sure it doesn't, sisters. That doesn't work. You want to hear it. You want to hear it. And God says, I love you. I tell you, when the Lord moved on me for 10 nights, 10 nights, not one night, 10 nights, the same message, he hammered it home. I love you, and I gave myself for you. That's all the voice said. That was enough. I'll tell you, the devil's power melted. His chains broke loose just in them words. And I tell you, the love of God is the strongest thing in this world. It can save anybody and everybody. God's love. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling according to our works. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God loved you then. Not wonderful, Brother Ewell. Ever before you were in your mother's womb, God loved you. He knew you were coming, and he'd something for you. Young man, the Lord loves you tonight. Young woman, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. I believe that's a powerful scripture. We love him because he first loved us. Do you ever see somebody? You know, you young fellas, there's going to be a day coming. You're going to see a young woman. And you're going to love her. And you're going to set your eyes on her. And it'll not be emotion. There is a lot of emotion. And there's a lot of fake stuff out there. All the glitters is not gold. But there'll be a day come, someone will hit you in the heart. It'll hit you in the heart. And it's real love. And God so loved the world. And his heart was broken on the cross. His heart was broken on the cross. When you study Calvary, they say the suffering the Lord went through caused the water to pocket under his heart. And when the soldier pierced him, he explains, when he pierced him, blood and water came forth because the water deposited because of the suffering went through. And the water come out from the broken heart because he loved us. The Lord loves you tonight. You think the Lord's not answering your prayer? That's a lie of the devil. The Bible says before you even pray, the answer's on the way. God's moving. God is answering you. The devil wants you to think. He wants you to discourage you. He wants to use you and bruise you and discourage you and drive you right down so that you're going to say, I'm going to quit. But the Lord loves you. And he wants to bear you up. The Bible says he beareth us up, hallelujah, on his shoulders. And he carries us. That's the love of God. Just like the little story of the footprints in the sands. And the fella says, you must have left me. The going got tough and only saw one set of footprints. You must have left me. And the Lord said, no. When you saw the one set of footprints, when the going was tough, I was carrying you. And them was my footprints. And many times the Lord is carrying us. We can't carry him. But if we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost, I can tell you the Holy Spirit will carry us. It's like the wind. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's like the wind. You can't tell whether it cometh or goeth. But if you'll just put your arms out and yield like the eagle, and the wind lifts them and carries them up into the heavenlies, far above all them other birds he flies. Because he always was an eagle. Do you know why he was an eagle? He was born an eagle. He was born an eagle. And when you're born again, you're a child of God. You can't be born again twice. You're only born again one time. One time for all time and for all eternity. Your birth place is permanent in the kingdom of God. And no devil in hell can change it. And the Lord loves you tonight. And he's coming for you. And his angels are going to make a collection. Did you hear me? There's going to be a collection made. They're going to sweep down and pick up the people of God. And we're going to be taken out of this world home to be with the Lord. William Branham said in a message called The Flashing Red Light Was Coming, he says they don't know what them UFOs are. They see them, spot them lights. The scientists can't explain it. Nobody can explain it's UFOs. But he says them's the angels of the Lord. And they're going to sweep down and pick you up. Didn't they say in Acts, as Jesus went up in the cloud, he's going to come in so like manner. Brothers, we're leaving here. The world can laugh at it. The world can joke about it. But when we're gone, the tribulation is setting into this world like it's never seen before. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. But aren't you glad tonight you're in the Lord? And he loves you. And he's taking you. And now you'll not be worried about a work appointment or a clinic appointment or any other appointment. You'll be gone. You'll be gone. It'll be too late for everything else when the Lord decides it. It's going to happen. God did not love us because we loved him, but he loved us before we had one parcel of love for him. He loved us. I'm closing in a moment because we have to be out for six. Now, I appreciate even we can have the hall. We can maybe couldn't even have had a hall. But I hope you're getting something tonight. Had God loved us in return for ours, then it would not be spontaneous on his part. It is clear that God's love was uninfluenced. He didn't love us because we loved him. He loved us because he chose to do it. Have you ever chose to love somebody? Have you ever chose to get on your knees? Somebody that's offended you, spoke against you, done all sorts of evil against you, and the Bible says pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your neighbor. Don't covet what he has, but pray for him. He could be the most evil fella, couldn't he? But the Bible says pray for him. It's highly important, if God is to be honored and the heart of the children established, that we should be quite clear upon this precious truth. God's love for me and for each one of his own was entirely unmoved by any of us. What was there in me to attract the love of God? Nothing. It would expel God's love. But God loved me anyhow. That's why the devil takes all the demons and all the time to brainwash you and brainwash me into your subconsciousness to tell you God doesn't love you. That's the devil. God's message to you is, I love you. Lord, I've made a mistake. I still love you. Lord, I've fallen short. I still love you. I'll tell you better than that. I love you that much. My blood's there, laying there for you. And every time you make a mistake, you can come and be washed afresh in the blood of Jesus. And you'll be whiter than the very driven snow. Clean and pure as the virgin snow, as a brother sang this morning, by the blood of Jesus Christ. God loves you. The devil's lying to you. The Lord wouldn't have anything for me. The Bible says he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. God doesn't pick out the big buddies, the know-alls, the super intelligent. God picks whoever he wants, because he's going to show to the world and the devil that he can pick a nobody, because he's somebody, and make someone out of nothing. Hallelujah. God picked Moses, and Moses confessed from his own mouth he couldn't even talk right. Is that the Bible? God cured that. He says, Aaron will speak for you. We'll cure that. Don't give God any excuses why you can't do it tonight. God loves you. God loves you. And the Lord's suffering for you. Hear me tonight. I'm preaching to somebody in this room. The Lord loves you and he's suffering for you, and the devil's lying to you. There's no ladder you have to climb to find God's favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? There's no ladder you have to climb to find God's favor. God's favor is on you right now. The favor of God's in this very room because God is love. I'm going to have to close. To be continued. God loves you. Let's stand our feet this evening, and a brother's going to come. And you know, it's so easy to get discouraged. So easy to think, nobody loves me. Maybe somebody's not showing you the attention. Maybe that they should be. And the devil uses it. Isn't that the truth? But the Lord loves you tonight. The Lord loves you. Let us bow our heads tonight. And if you would say, brother, would you pray for me? Lift your hand, or sister, boy or girl. Lift your hand up to the Lord in that service. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord loves you tonight. God love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. You so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I'm asking you for the hands raised this evening. For those listening in, encourage them, strengthen them. We know the devil goes about like a roaring lion, but Lord, you conquered him on the cross. You rendered him powerless. He's a bluff. You are the King of kings and the Lord of all lords. We call you in the scene. We plead your blood over every household and every situation. And we pray that you'll intervene in every situation. Answer every prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. God bless you. I thank you tonight for listening. My time's gone. A brother's going to come. But let's get back on Wednesday night. And for the prayer and Bible study. God bless each one.
Amen. Well, praise God. We're just going to see a few people starting to come in. But before we close, let us sing that hymn, I Am So Glad. Our Father in Heaven tells of his love in the book he has given God. Let the people know that you mean it. And if you are glad, praise God, for it is a wonderful thing. Indeed, praise God. I am so glad.